The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal them to myself." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus says, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." Gosh, I feel like we've been talking about love an awful lot all the way back to Maundy Thursday. Now, this is a funny kind of commandment, a funny sort of statement in the Gospel of John, because in that Gospel, we only have one commandment from Jesus: love one another as I have loved you. That's it. So, as if the Gospel of John wasn't hard enough to understand sometimes, now even Jesus can't remember the number of commandments he's given us. Maybe what Jesus means to say is that the commandment to love feels like a million commandments, because it is a new commandment with every new occasion and every new opportunity to carry it out. With every new person we meet, we get a new commandment to love. And love is never going to look the same way twice. A counselor friend of mine once shared a story with me. She had a particular patient who was a garbage collector, of all people. And week after week, he'd come into her office, and he always was struggling with relationship problems in his life, and he just couldn't figure it out. He was a great guy, really sweet, really caring, really thoughtful, but he just could not, for the life of him, keep a relationship locked down, and it was killing him. He was heartbroken. And one day, after he had gotten dumped again, he was really trying to figure out what on earth had happened, you know, something in his personality, something he said, something he did. The counselor finally realized that nobody had told him the truth, not even her. She had known it the minute he walked in the door, but she never said it aloud. And as he was crying about another relationship ended, the counselor stopped him and said, "I'm not sure you know this. You smell terrible." And he was shocked. He was blown away. No one had ever told him that. She said, "Yeah, every day you leave, I get out a bottle of Febreze, I spray the whole place down, and it still stinks. Did you ever wonder why I schedule you as the last appointment every week? Because it takes all weekend long to empty the smell of you out of my office." And he laughed, and he was just flabbergasted. He was so used to the smell of garbage on his clothes and on his skin that it never occurred to him that he stunk. That's a true story. And sure enough, months later, after he started being a little bit more hygienically intentional, voila, no more relationship problems. Things were better. Jesus says, "Keep my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you." Love is never going to fit into a one-size-fits-all kind of format. It's a new opportunity for keeping this commandment in every single undertaking. Love as I love you. That's the commandment. And even though it's a new commandment with every undertaking, generally speaking, if we kind of step back and look at the ways that Jesus loves in Scripture, we see that it usually involves, like this counselor, it usually involves mercy. And maybe I'm alone in this, but when I hear the word mercy, I think that I'm inclined to hear that word as leniency, right? Like, let people off the hook. Give them a shortened sentence after the guilty verdict is rendered. As if mercy were kind of that second part of the phrase, forgive and forget, right? Just forget about it. Show them mercy already. But in the Gospels, mercy is almost never leniency or a lightened sentence. In the Gospels, mercy is healing. It is restoration. My favorite example of this comes out of Luke. When a blind man calls out to Jesus from the road, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus turns around and heals the man. The man's eyesight is restored. That's mercy. And so if it's restoration that we're looking for in this command to love, then forgiving and forgetting doesn't really cut it. Leniency doesn't cut it. The easy way out of the smelly garbage man situation would have been for my friend to just keep spraying that Febreze, trying to get the smell out of the office. That's leniency. But in saying the hard thing, in doing the hard thing, she showed him mercy. She told him the truth. And that truth restored him into a life filled with relationships. I wish love were as simple as that story. But we know from experience, we know living in this world, a world that is filled with characters and people who are much harder to love than that. We know that love is not that simple, especially when it comes to loving our enemies. In the 50s and 60s, there was a Baptist preacher named Will Campbell. And Will Campbell was a civil rights advocate and leader. He marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He worked tirelessly alongside of other civil rights figures. And he himself, for a long time, was one of the only white Southern Baptist preachers kind of allowed in certain gatherings. He was a very sort of rare figure. And if you've ever seen those pictures of the Little Rock schools being integrated, right? You have this group of black students being guided through crowds of people who are looking very kind of nasty and angry and hateful as these students are marched to school. Will Campbell is one of the people who is gently escorting them through the crowds. That's just who Will Campbell was. But later in life, after Dr. King's assassination, Campbell felt a new calling in his ministry, and because of that calling, he would later say that for a long time he received hate mail from people on the right, but later in life he began to receive more hate mail from people on the left than people on the right, because this new calling was to begin visiting KKK members in prison. He'd give them pastoral care and counseling. He'd hold worship for them. He was known somewhat derogatorily by his former friends as chaplain to the KKK. And friends who were baffled by this, people who would ask what the heck he was doing with this, he would say, "Well, Jesus says, if you're gonna love one of them, you gotta love them all." And that kind of love made him a lot of enemies. But as I read about Will Campbell, I'm struck. He didn't show these members of the KKK leniency. He showed mercy, and there was a difference. Rather than seeing these people as evidence of hate and despair, he took this as an opportunity to follow the command to love. Now, here in our backyard, over in Santee, where some of our members live, I've been really troubled by the news coming out of there in the last few weeks. First of a man who entered into a grocery store wearing a KKK hood. And then a week later of another man wearing a face mask with that most ugly symbol, the swastika on that. It made national news in some places. It's tempting, I think, As people who want to love, it's tempting to read and hear about episodes like this as evidence of hate. And in one way, they are evidence of hate. But if that's the only takeaway we can muster, then I'm afraid that we continue to draw ourselves further and further away from the possibility of restoration. I don't know about you, but there's a sense in our kind of wider civil discourses that right now we just can't figure out how to talk to people on the other side of the political spectrum, right? We have red states, we have blue states, we have Fox News, we have MSNBC. I'm tired of it. You know the divisions I'm talking about. I don't want to say any more. We could be tempted to limit our imaginations to seeing the incident in Santee as further evidence of despair and decay and division, further evidence that that division is winning and widening and we'll never find our way back to one another. And that can feel really overwhelming. It kind of makes us want to hole up and close our eyes. But we follow Jesus, and when Jesus hears the blind men crying for mercy, he doesn't ignore the facts. He doesn't tell them that they're not really blind, or he doesn't show them leniency, whatever that would mean. They are restored by way of mercy. Keep my commandments, he says. Love one another as I have loved you. Love's never going to look one way or another. It's never going to fit into a one-size-fits-all kind of format. Sometimes it means telling a garbage man he smells. Sometimes it means visiting KKK members in jail. That's the radical nature of this commandment to love. But if we were left alone with that command to love, I don't think we could do it. I don't think we could get there. I know that I couldn't do that. In today's gospel, Jesus tells his followers to love, but he doesn't leave it there. He takes it a step further. He says, "You will not be orphaned in this work. I will send the advocate, the Spirit of truth, the comforter." And I don't know about you, but when I see the news of a swastika and a KKK hood nearby, I feel anger, not love. I feel despair. But Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned in that despair. I will not leave this world without possibilities for restoration. The evidence of hate and despair will not swallow you whole. Because you will be filled with the Spirit of truth. And with every new person you meet, whether they've got a swastika embroidered on their sleeve or a hood on their heads, you will have an opportunity to embody this command to love. And the Spirit of truth will be in your breath, and you will have the opportunity to restore them from hate. Filled with the breath of the advocate, you will become an advocate. Filled with the Spirit of truth, you will speak truth. Filled with the comfort of the comforter, you will comfort. But most of all, you will not be left alone. You will not be left alone and orphaned to despair. For that, in the midst of a world that feels so divisive, so confused, so hurt, thanks be to God. Amen.